So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
You know, first, I just have so much respect for Harbs. You know, our stories will forever be, you know, interwoven. This rivalry that we've been fortunate and honored enough to be a part of. I just got so much respect for him and how he's gone about his business. And we've certainly had some legendary battles over the years. You know, in terms of him being let go, unfortunately, I just think it's a component of today's sport culture. And so, you know, there have been many examples of that. And so it's unfortunate, but I'm sure that he is going to move on. And if he chooses to coach again, I'm sure he will. And I'm sure he'll be very successful at doing so. But more than anything, I just think it's, you know, a larger example of today's sport culture in terms of, you know, not a lot of patience in the entertainment component of what it is that we do. There's just not a lot of longevity. You know, I'm sure we all would like to be Don Shula and Tom Landry, but I think those days are gone.
What? Mike Tomlin talking about patience. Mike Tomlin saying that there's no Tom Landry's or Don Shula's anymore is one of the more laughable things I've heard a coach say in recent memory. Yes, it is different in modern times. Yes, you do not see coaches coach for 30, 40 years anymore. But if there was a modern day, at least in terms of longevity, Don Shula, a modern day, at least in terms of longevity, Tom Landry, it would be Mike Tomlin, and it would be John Harbaugh. What the hell is this guy talking about? Don Shula, history lesson, folks. Little fireside chat. Everyone gather around. Don Shula won the Super Bowl in 1973. He then went 8 years without a playoff win. So Mike Tomlin in the midst of an 8-year playoff drought, correct? Playoff win drought. But then he won the AFC in 1982. So even if there was a thought, well, 8 years is too long, 9 years might be time. He wins the AFC in 1982. He then wins the AFC in 1984. So his longest playoff drought was bookended by a Super Bowl championship and an AFC championship. Tom Landry was fired when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys in 1989. He was in the midst of a 6-year playoff win drought. And Jerry Jones was like, yeah, I ain't down for that. Now, there's more context. They finished 3-13 the final year there of Tom Landry. They lost to Detroit, the worst team in the NFL. Bleep happened. But if you go and look at the history of this great game, and you look at coaches, if you go more than 8 years without a playoff victory, that's probably it for you. That's what got Tom Landry kicked to the curb, for God's sakes. 6 years, new owner comes in. Yeah, I'm not here for 6 years of playoff futility. Shula wins a Super Bowl, so he gets a free pass for the next 8 years. But then the subsequent year, he goes to the AFC Championship game. Is Mike Tomlin going to go to the AFC Championship game this year? Shoot, I'm lying. I'm wrong. Shula won the AFC. Is Tomlin going to win the AFC this year? Like, that's the kind of stuff you got to do to save your job if you go on a playoff losing streak of 6 games and you haven't come close to winning one in damn near a decade. Is that modern times or is that just fair? Methinks it's just fair. What have you done for me lately? Your job is not to win regular season games. It's to win playoff games and eventually championships. Now, you don't win a championship every year. Only one team does. But when Mike Tomlin waxes poetic there with Rich Eisen, and I should credit Rich Eisen, that's where Tomlin espoused this nonsense. When you don't win playoff games in 6 years, in 8 years, you should be on the hot seat. And then, to get off said hot seat, you need to win playoff games or it should be it. Like, am I crazy here? 412-928-9370. You're not going to win, like I was saying, a Super Bowl every year. But when Mike Tomlin talks about entertainment, I'm entertained by a team that I think has a chance. And I actually do think they've got somewhat of a chance this year, which we've talked about all week long. But did anybody really think they had a puncher's chance against the Ravens? Did anybody really think they had a puncher's chance against the Bills? Did anybody really think they had a puncher's chance against the Chiefs? And then in game, they didn't have a shot because they fell behind early against the Jags, against the Patriots, against the Browns. Like, Mike Tomlin says there should be patience in an entertainment industry. I'm a pretty patient guy when it comes to my football coaches. I really am. I was okay with West Virginia, for God's sakes, giving Neil Brown an extension after he won 9 games in year 5. I can be pretty patient. But what I want is upward trajectory at some point. What I want is to be able to snort hopium at some point. Growing up in the Cowher years, I always thought when the Steelers made the playoffs that they had a shot. Now, typically the other shoe would drop and they would lose an AFC championship game at home, sometimes in embarrassing fashion, as big favorites. What up, 94 AFC championship game? But you always felt like they had a shot. Mike Tomlin's only won a playoff game in 4 out of 18 seasons, and he wants to sit there with Rich Eisen, his buddy, his pal, and talk about patience? I think the Steelers have shown you more than enough patience, more than enough grace, for God's sakes. In fact, it's not just that they've shown patience, they've rewarded him for his mediocrity. That comment floored me yesterday. There's no more Tom Landry's. There's no more Don Shula's. Buddy, you're it. Don Shula coached the Dolphins for 26 years. Tom Landry coached in the NFL with Dallas for 29 years. Yes, both of those guys were at their longest tenured jobs, longer than Tomlin or Harbaugh were where they were or are. English. But to get to 29, to get to 26, you got to get to 18. You got to get to 19. Like, Tomlin's almost on his second decade of being a Steelers head coach, and he has the gall to say, oh, there's no patience anymore. There's no Tom Landry's. There's no Don Shula's. For God's sakes. Tom Landry, by the by, won 2 Super Bowl championships. Don Shula, by the by, won 2 Super Bowl championships. Don Shula, 4-time coach of the year. Tom Landry, a 1-time coach of the year. Both guys in the Hall of Fame. Now, I do think Tomlin and I think Harbaugh will both wind up in Canton one day. If you just look at their resumes, they will. But if you want to go 29 years in one spot, you want to go 26 years in one spot, usually you don't have long droughts. If you do, you got to end it with something spectacular. Or, in the case of Landry, you have a playoff win drought. That's it for you, bud. So I don't know what the hell Tomlin's talking about. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, you're nuts, but GD, you're right. Correct. Of course I'm right. I'm never wrong. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, stop. No, I'm not going to stop. You know, Tomlin beats his chest after Tyler Loop misses a field goal and he makes the playoffs, something I have no problem with in the moment, but the more I think about it, he's beating his chest. He's yelling at Brooke Pryor coming off the field against, was it Detroit or was it the Dolphins? That's what gives me confidence, Brooke. But he ain't won anything in the last 8 years. And you're going to go on Rich Eisen's show and you're going to say, oh, modern times, nobody's patient anymore. That's what gives me confidence, Brooke. Let me beat my chest and blow kisses in the camera when I win games. Buddy, win a playoff game. Shula went 8 years, then he won the AFC. Go win the damn AFC. Landry, 6 years, no playoff wins. He's out. Tomlin, 8 years, no playoff wins, and my man just, he's going to coach until he doesn't want to coach anymore. Like, if Mike Tomlin's no longer the Steelers coach after Monday, it's not going to be the Rooney's decision. It's going to be his decision. He is Tom Landry. He is Don Shula, at least insofar as the longevity is concerned. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, Tomlin is wrong, but he's right. Knoll may not have made it 5 years in today's climate. Well, with the Steelers or Ravens, I think he would have. Now, coaches do get kicked aside by bad franchises all the time, real quick. And sometimes it's the right decision. Like, look at Vrabel in New England. You have 1 year with no Belichick. And that's not working out with Mayo. Let's bring in Vrabel. But this idea that it was some sort of crime that Harbaugh was let go is nonsense to me. And that's what Tomlin made it sound like whenever he was talking with Rich Eisen yesterday. And I think Tomlin sees himself in Harbaugh because of the relationship between the two franchises, the fact that these coaches coached against each other 40 times, given the success that each guy has had, the relative success. And I think Tomlin thinks, man, if that happened to him, if it happened to me, I think it'd be a crime. I think it'd be unfair. Well, it wouldn't be. 412-928-9370. Give me a ring. You want to chat about this? You can also text me at 412-928-9370. Tweet me at _AdamCrowley. You could also tweet Callus at Callus_33. Coming up next, your calls. Plus, there is a ton of smoke that it could be Tomlin's last Steelers game on Monday night. But again, it would not be the Rooney's decision. It's not Art's decision. We'll tell you about that smoke when we come.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Back.
But I believe Mike Tomlin's got an opportunity in TV in his back pocket, and he's got to decide when the season's over whether or not he's going to take advantage of it. That's what I believe, based upon everything I've seen, heard, etc. I think he's got something, and it's just up to him at the right time, walking away from the Steelers and walking through that.
Aditi, you've come on with us several times and said you don't see Tomlin in TV. Do you still feel that way?
No. I'm sorry. I know that he has had, that there have been conversations involving him with very, very high-level TV executives. I'm not saying that that was ever anything exploratory on his end. There is a ton of interest in him, for sure, in television.
Mike Florio and Aditi Kingabwala talking about Mike Tomlin and a potential career in TV, or at least a stop in TV after this season. before maybe taking another job in the NFL. This on the heels of a Jeremy Fowler report that came out just yesterday. Fowler, formerly of this parish, great guy, used to cover the team intimately for ESPN. He writes, Mike Tomlin's future has been hotly debated of late. There is no firm evidence as of now that Tomlin would leave Pittsburgh after 19 seasons. He's been fiercely loyal to Pittsburgh, but a source close to Tomlin believes stepping away is at least a possibility. This weekend, you had the Glazers, the Rappaports of the world, all kind of NFL insiders all saying the same thing, that Tomlin could be interested in going to TV. I don't happen to think that that's a coincidence. And the fact that Florio said what he did yesterday and Fowler reported what he did yesterday has me at least thinking that there's a shot, a chance, that if the Steelers lose on Monday, this could be Mike Tomlin's last game. Now, people are texting in and saying, Crowley, there's a playoff game this weekend. Why aren't you talking about the game? We've spent 90% of the show this week looking back at the Ravens game and looking ahead to the Houston game. We did a comprehensive midweek breakdown of Houston yesterday, and there's more of that to come with Pat Bostic, who's going to join us from 7 o'clock until 10. But if you don't think that this game could be Mike Tomlin's last game, you don't think that's a story, then I don't know what to say to you. It is a story, and I think there's at least a possibility. And Florio said the same thing. Florio's been doing this for two decades, and he said, I can tell when media insiders are floating stuff that they are just sort of, you know, trial ballooning, and I can tell when things are legit. And he said, I think this one's legit. And then you got the Fowler report yesterday. So if the Steelers lose, I do think there's at least a shot this is Mike Tomlin's last game. Now, I'll be clear on this. I think anybody who's rooting for the Steelers to lose because they want Tomlin to go are lame. They're not real Steelers fans. Throw that out there right now. If you are rooting for the Steelers to lose, just turn in your fan card. Go be a Browns fan. Go be a Jets fan. Go be a Titans fan. Get the frig out of here. If you're a Steelers fan, you should want them to advance. You should want them to win. But should they lose, I think it might be Tomlin's last hurrah. I really do think that. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Texter, okay, Adam, clearly you don't like Tomlin. Can you talk about the huge game? Yeah, we will, and we have. But what? Every Steelers fan has now forgiven Mike Tomlin because Tyler Loop missed a field goal? And I'm not asking tongue-in-cheek. I'm not asking to be a jackass. Like, Tyler Loop missed a field goal, and now we've forgiven Mike Tomlin for the last 8 years of playoff futility. Is that what we're doing? Other texters have written in. First thing in the morning, more bitching about Tomlin because he said something defending a coach that just got fired. What's he supposed to say? I mean, Tomlin could have easily said, I respect the hell out of John Harbaugh. We had a bunch of great battles. I think he's going to land on his feet, and I look forward to coaching against him again. But instead, what he said was, well, in today's society, we're too impatient, despite the fact that Harbaugh's coached 18 years and hasn't won more than a playoff game with a two-time MVP. Larry in Greensburg, first up today. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Hey, I totally agree with you that if Tomlin does not win this game on Monday, I believe he's out. Listen, you talked on, I think, on Monday, you talked about how we should be just thankful that it was a really good game. That you have to remember Kasparaitis and the Penguins, and you have to, even though they didn't go to the Stanley Cup. Here's the thing. There's a lot of good memory games, good games that we can watch, college and pro. And they were really good games to watch. But listen, the Steeler fans want championships. That's what we're made out of. I've been a Steeler fan for 50 years, and we just don't want, hey, like you said, we kicked that field goal, we won that game, now everything's erased. It's about winning and running for the crown, running for the,
yeah,
for
Larry,
the championship.
Larry, you and I are in full agreement. The topic that I did earlier on in the week was, even if the Steelers get their ass kicked against Houston, will that game still go down as a classic? And I think it will. But yeah, of course, I want them to win the game, and it'll be viewed in an even more positive light if they go on a little bit of a run here. But you and I are saying the same thing. Like, the reason why I'm not going to give Tomlin a bunch of grace if they lose this game is because it's not just about now. It's the same thing with Harbaugh, Larry, and thank you for the call. Like, I've heard people on national television make the argument, boy, Harbaugh lost his job because his kicker missed that kick. A rookie kicker misses a kick and Harbaugh's out of job. That doesn't seem fair. Well, it's the cumulative, folks. It's his playoff record with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar Jackson has won two MVPs, and they've never won multiple playoff games in a season together. That is underachieving. Tyler Loop was just the last straw. Like, for me, if the Steelers get blown out, that's the last straw for Tomlin. It won't just be, oh, he lost against Houston, and it's one loss that cost him his job. No, it's the last straw. I don't know if they're going to win or not. I'm not ready to give my prediction. And that's a good thing. Because each of these last couple of years when they make the playoffs, it's a fait accompli. They're not going to beat the Ravens. They've lost four in a row. They're not going to beat the Bills. They've got Mason Rudolph at quarterback. I think they've got more than a puncher's chance in this game. And there has been growth. And I've given Mike Tomlin an A for this season to this point. You would have killed for a division championship before the year. They outperformed the Vegas win total. You won a winner-take-all game at the end of the season, and your team showed a ton of resilience in doing so. Now, some of the adversity was created by themselves by losing to the Browns. In fact, all of it was, but they still won the game, and the result is what matters. They won the AFC North, and they get a home playoff game. But, yeah, he's graded on winning playoff games and subsequently how many championships do you win. This is Pittsburgh, for God's sakes. Joe in Heidelberg next up. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, one thing that I don't hear anyone locally or nationally talking about is how, and the way that I see it, is how the bad helmet comes with Aaron Rodgers may have possibly been such a godsend at the end of that game. Because without the timeouts being burned, the cadence on the last drive would have been totally different. Coming into it, the Ravens would have had more time on the clock if we would have had timeouts and burned them as that last drive was going on. You know, I look at it as it's one of those things that just, it could have changed the whole course of that game.
Well, it certainly adds to the lore, Joe. Like, when I think back on this game years down the line, I'm going to think, remember when the intercoms went out? Do you remember Boswell? Was it blocked? Was it not blocked? Tyler Loop, the Zay Flowers touchdown. There's 18 million things that we're all going to think about from that game, and that's one of them. Because, Joe, have you ever really seen that before? The comms go out, the quarterback changes helmets twice, the quarterback uses two timeouts in one series? Like, I've never seen that before.
Not only have you never seen it before, but that should not happen at your home field.
No.
Like, this isn't like bringing comms into another stadium. This is comms at your home field that everybody's there. All your IT people are there. Everybody's there. Those comms on your home field should never go out.
I agree.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, the lore of Aaron Rodgers, but sometimes I wonder if those comms weren't out. I wonder if that was Aaron burning times out to make sure that the end of the game was in his hands.
Thanks, Joe.
And, yep.
If it's anybody but Rodgers, I would dismiss that totally out of hand. And I don't believe that that's what happened. But because it is Rodgers, it does make you think. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show, as always, brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. People tweeting me and tweeting Doran saying, Doran, you got to come get your guy. He's going nuts. As if I wouldn't say all the exact same stuff in front of Doran. Now, he might disagree, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but my takes are the same no matter who's sitting across from me. I'm just going to be me.
You just make less confident takes whenever he's here.
I disagree 1,000,000%. I think that is a ludicrous notion. We would have a debate, potentially. But I think he would agree with me on this one. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but do we think the Steelers have been patient with Mike Tomlin? Do we think the Ravens have been patient with Harbaugh? I think the answer is obviously yes. Both guys are on the cusp of working, or now Tomlin is, 2 decades with the same franchise. Both franchises have been eminently patient with these guys, rewarding to these guys. Harbaugh could have been fired in 2014. Could have been fired in 2016, 2017. Like, they've been patient. Any notion that they haven't, or that the Steelers haven't with Mike Tomlin, I think is complete nonsense. It's nonsense. All right, you can give us a ring on the hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin talking about another chapter in that Steelers-Ravens rivalry, and an interesting hypothetical, I think, for all of yins out there.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whew, man. It's another one in the history of this series, man. It's an honor to be a part of this rivalry with that group. Got a lot of respect for him, man. Obviously, it was a 60-minute football game. But I'm just happy for those guys in that locker room.
And that closes the book on the Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, Steelers-Ravens portion of the rivalry. I expect that Tomlin will be the Steelers head coach next year, though it's not a sure thing, according to Jeremy Fowler and others. Mike Tomlin could choose to go the TV route. Time will tell. And I'm a little bit saddened by the Harbaugh side of things. Mike Tomlin has not owned him necessarily, but he's got the better of him in recent matchups. The playoff game last year notwithstanding, Mike Tomlin had a winning record against Harbaugh, and we saw Tomlin, I think, routinely outcoach John Harbaugh in big games, big moments. And they're all big as division games. But I think because the players change so frequently, it's not the Ray Lewis's versus the Bens and the Paul Amalu's and the Reeds and the Wards. Like, the coaches have been the faces of this rivalry for a while. And it's going to be different without Harbs. The hypothetical I wanted to throw out there, and I don't have an answer to this. If both guys were coaching free agents, who do you think would be in higher demand, Tomlin or Harbaugh? 412-928-9370. I think it would probably be Tomlin. I think Tomlin's more widely respected. And the reason I think that is because of the way Harbaugh's dismissal has been talked about versus the hypothetical Tomlin dismissals and how they're talked about on a national scale. I saw a couple of guys on national television yesterday say that they didn't agree with the moving on from Harbaugh. But I think the vast majority, at least anecdotally, of the national media members understood why the Ravens did what they did. I think at best it'd be a 50-50 split if Tomlin were let go. I think at least 50% of folks would say, oh boy, what the hell are they doing? And I think that's because Tomlin is at least a smidge more respected than Harbaugh. But I'd be fascinated to see who would land a job faster if they both entered the free agent market at the same time. And they won't. I mean, because even if Tomlin left, he'd be going right into TV. Let's go to Corey in the car. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, listen, what worries me is the possibility of Kevin Stefanski going to Baltimore, because he is an offensive-minded coach. He's young, you know, that, and 2-time coach of the year in Cleveland, of all places. I mean, he lasted 6 years in Cleveland. Who does that?
I'd hire him a second if I were the Ravens.
Right, pairing him up with Lamar. That's scary as hell,
yes,
as a Steelers fan. But listen, the one thing I did want to just touch upon.
Yeah.
Is sort of how the time period of being a Steelers fan that I grew up in, which was the years right before we went into that second dynasty of three appearances, two wins with Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And how, when I was growing up, I had never even seen my team be in a Super Bowl because I was an infant when they were in Super Bowl 30 against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I had never seen the Steelers go to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. And yet the legacy of the 70 Steelers still was around. And the fact of the matter is that for me personally, this is a different perspective, I think, than a lot of people in Pittsburgh have, where the caller a little while ago was mentioning how we're all about championships, championships, championships. And I'm like, my perspective, having grown up never watching them in a Super Bowl when I was little, was always the fact that we are the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the most respected teams in football, regardless of whether we are a championship team or not. We always, even in the bad years when Chuck Knoll was still here in the 80s, you always knew you might come into Pittsburgh and win, but you're going to get your jaw, somebody's going to probably leave the game with a broken jaw or something.
Well, and you talk about the 70s. And thank you so much for the call, Corey. I think you said what I was saying earlier, but you may have even said it better than me. It's not just the 70s. It's 94 AFC Championship game, 95 AFC Championship game, Super Bowl berth, 1997 AFC Championship game, 2001, they're 13-3, 2002, they're a Joe Nedney flop away from going to the AFC Championship game, 2004, they're 15-1, 2005, they win the Super Bowl. Like, you always thought if they got in that they were going to win a playoff game at the very least. And yes, we all want championships. That's not realistic. But what is realistic is that when you make the postseason, you as a fan have hope, real legitimate hope, that they can go on a little bit of a run. And of late, it hasn't felt like that. It's felt like the Steelers have been the worst team to get into the postseason these last few years. This year, I have a little bit more hope. And I think there's tangible reasons for that. The way the O-line's playing, the way the D-line's playing, the way the quarterback is playing. But that, to me, is the bigger issue with Tomlin than he hasn't won another championship. It's that we've never really flirted with it. And even the AFC Championship berth in 2016, they got their butts handed to them by the New England Patriots. And if the Steelers' offense had played up to its capabilities in that game, and it was tough because Lev was hurt, I think the Patriots could have named their score. If the Steelers scored 49, I think the Patriots could have scored 50. It was just that kind of day. And it's been that kind of six games for the Steelers in the playoffs the last 8 years. 412-928-9370. Jim in Monroeville and others waiting patiently on hold. Jim, we'll get to you coming up next. There's a topic that has been discussed a ton on this radio station and radio stations around the city in the last day. And I'm wondering if media members are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Kind of. I'll explain when we come back. Pat Bostic set to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Haven't seen Pat in the new year. Jacked up to talk ball with a ball knower. I've missed Doran tremendously. You have all missed Doran tremendously. And Pat is our other partner in crime. So looking forward to that. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We'll let KDK take care of that in a couple of minutes here. Weather for the game on Sunday, highs around kickoff of about 32 degrees, right on the cusp of freezing. So the biggest story in Pittsburgh yesterday, bar none, was that the Post-Gazette is going to shutter. And that's a sad day for all of us. But I'm wondering, and forgive me here, my media cohorts. I'm wondering if we in the media care more about this than the general public. I am super bummed out that a lot of my friends and colleagues, really good people over there, are going to be out of a job come the summertime. Like, that sucks. Jason Mackey, Noah Hiles, Ray Fittipaldo. I used to work all the time with Jerry Dulac. Like, they are great guys. Starkey no longer going to be writing columns there anymore. Zeiss, and that just stinks. I think they're all super talented and really cool people. And it meant a lot to me in my career. But I'm wondering if the general public, the listeners out there, care about it as much as we do. Like, I try to put myself in your shoes. Like, I know that the Post-Gazette was instrumental in me becoming, in my career, what I've become. Like, I would not be as fervent a sports fan now if I didn't wake up every day reading the Post-Gazette in my formative sports fan years. But would I have shed a tear yesterday? I don't know. I think it's bad for the city. I think that's inarguable. I think you need local journalism. And I'm hoping someone will swoop in and buy the Post-Gazette and people can keep their jobs and we can keep on having quality journalism. But if I weren't in the position I'm in right now, would it have been as impactful to me? I'm not sure. And I wonder how you all feel about it out there at 412-928-9370. Right. We all spent a bunch of time talking about it yesterday. And I'm not saying guys like Starkey and Pomp and Pony and Mueller shouldn't have. They should have. That was the story of the day. But do you care as much as we do? I think it's just an interesting question. I do know that without growing up reading Smyzik and Cook and Collier and others, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And so I'm big time bummed out. And I actually thought that the Post-Gazette had evolved in a way that was keeping up with the times. I mean, the Post-Gazette podcast that they put out all the time, I listened to with Hiles and Chris Carter. And I didn't mention Chris, and I should have. Chris is incredibly talented and a super swell guy and one of my buddies. They have moved into a modern realm with the podcast stuff that they do, with the job that has been created for Noah. I don't know that there's better beat writer anywhere that is as diverse as Jason Mackey, and I hurt for those guys, and I think that they will all land on their feet, but I would wish that this town could get to keep them around for a while, and I still hope that something could happen there, but I do wonder if yins out there care as much as we in the industry do. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, I doubt the public cares as much, but I'm fairly sure Joe's reaction tugged at a lot of people's heartstrings. Yeah, I mean, I watched it yesterday. I was moved. It's a bummer. I think Joe is such a talented writer. And Joe was talking about the legacy of the columnists that came before him and whether or not he could stand on their shoulders and he aspires to be what they were. And for me, he is. I never miss a Starkey call. And so, yeah, I'm bummed out. But I wonder if the general public also kind of saw this coming. And maybe that mutes some of the reaction, because there was, I saw a lot of people on social media saying yesterday, yeah, no one cares. And that's a shame. It honestly is a shame. 412-928-9370. Pat Bostick is going to join us next, but I promised that I would get to Jim in Monroeville, and I'm not a liar. Jim, how are you, bud?
Thank you this morning for taking my call. Yeah. You know, since you just mentioned the Post, I'm not a sports journalist, but I've lived in Pittsburgh my whole life. Post-Gazette means a whole lot to people like myself, the city of Pittsburgh and its rich tradition and culture. I think it's been around since 1786, somewhere around there. So that's a long time for something, anything to be around in our society to be ripped away like that. But, you know, you mentioned just yesterday about the head coach and the quarterback having a bigger role in the success of a team, which I totally agree with. Except for the Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson. Take nothing away from Lamar Jackson. I think he's a really, really good quarterback. But I also think John Harbaugh had a huge, huge hand in his success, be it not so successful. Yeah, not so successful in the postseason. So, yeah, I think this is going to hurt the Ravens. Sad to see him go for one reason and one reason only. The first thing I thought of when Harbaugh was fired was, is Tomlin next? And I'm a Tomlin supporter. But I do support a decision one way or the other. If he's gone, he's gone. If he's not, he's not. But I'm looking forward to this change. And hopefully the Steelers can get on the ball and see into the future and possibly bring in their new face of the franchise at the head coach position.
I'll actually disagree with you at the end there, Jim, but I'm not going to fully disagree with you, and thank you for the call. I hope they win against Houston, and we're not talking about firing Tomlin. I am trying more than anything to live in the now and enjoy it. One last thing here on the Post-Gazette. A lot of you out there might not care as much as we in the media care about this, because it's in the family, if you will, in our station, too. I mean, so many of our great contributors work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But I do think there's a danger here of teams taking over the media landscapes. The Steelers, they have a whole production going on in-house, a radio station, their website, a bunch. The things that they put up on the web, like even Tomlin's press conference the other day, you know what wasn't in there online? Him talking about male parts and his aunt. They cut that out. And I think the less local media that there is traveling to games, the more news will be disseminated from in-house, state-run media. And you're just not. If the Penguins are disseminating most of the information because you're not going to have beat writers go on the road, you're not getting the full story. Same with the Pirates, same with the Steelers. Them's the facts. And you, the listener, are going to be less informed than you otherwise would have been, because teams don't want all the good stuff out there. They're going to whitewash everything. Fact.